stand by.
Hi, this is Jeff.
And Gretchen.
And you're listening to This and That with Jeff and Gretchen, show number 40.
Ooh.
Or for us, number four. So actually, it's kind of funny because this is the same. We just finished recording show number 39. I know we shouldn't say that. It's an industry secret. Ooh, boy, we're so secretive. But isn't it amazing?
So if you enjoyed 39, you might like 40 even better.
Because we're in the same vibe, only crazier. And it's getting a little hotter in here, even though the air conditioning is on. I think it's because I closed the door out there. So, Gretchen, how are you doing? How was your week since we last talked? How the heck have you been?
Well,
we didn't even take a bathroom break. We just went and said goodbye. Hello, this is Jeff. It's kind of fun. Never done this before, so I don't know what the vibe's going to be like. Here's the deal. Give us some feedback, okay?
No. Well,
you know that we go 2 or 3 weeks without a show. That's, you know, we don't get together that often, and it's hard to do the show. So we figured, well, we'll give you 2 weekly shows. We're just doing it on the same day. So if you think that's a good idea, great. If you think that we're, you know, pulling one on you, then...
Well, I think what was up for me is after I moved, I think I did mention that I moved and I was sort of out of touch with all forms of electronic news sources for a while.
Right.
Unless I just wanted to see something quick on the internet, but I really wasn't paying attention to things that sort of caught my interest or what I wanted to learn more about.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that I'm... have gotten back in the world of 2006 again, I have found things that I think are interesting and I wanted to know more about them. So that's why I sort of had a lot to talk about. So
you just always have a lot to talk about.
Well, the girl
never shuts up.
I mean, that's right. I just.
I'm just kidding.
It is really, I know. I do have a problem with that. I've been told.
Really? Who have you been told that by? Let's explore that a little bit. Well, hey, I wanted to give an update on everybody. I've got 2 things to update on Jeff personally that I think are quite interesting. And my mom and Gretchen will find these. So for the gym, I've been doing a new gym program. And what I do is I go like 5 days on and 5 days off. Well, I should say 5 days light days and 5 days heavy days. I'm not that, I don't count quite that precisely because life is not about being so precise. But the idea is you spend some time on heavy days where you eat more than, say, your normal calories and you do really, really hard and heavy weightlifting. And then you alternate, you shock your body, and you go light. You take in less calories than what you would normally get during a day, enough to lose weight. And you do a lot of aerobic work. And you really don't do... You do a little bit of light weight workout. The concept is that you can only gain muscle by eating more calories, by gaining weight, essentially. And you can only lose fat by losing weight, essentially. So you have to take less calories in. And by gaining... Really putting on the muscle work when you're gaining... the weight, not only you gain muscle, but you can, that muscle gain will also help you lose fat because muscle is a good metabolizer. So anyways, the interesting thing about this, I don't really think I look any different, but
how long have you been doing it?
I guess since the beginning of June, so this has been a month and a half. So I'm taking like little numbers and stuff.
No,
and
it was longer than that.
No, because I've got it in my... Oh, you're right.
It was definitely longer than that.
You're right. It was like mid-May. I only started taking numbers. No, it was like...
It was early May.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's interesting. I don't really look any different, I don't think. Maybe I'm a little bit thinner, but I don't know. But here's what's very encouraging. On the bench press and on certain key metrics of... bench press, shoulder stuff, back, every single weight, and I have journals of all my old histories, I am stronger on everything.
And that's the only variable?
Yes.
So
I am stronger than I have ever been.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
That is cool.
So that's got to mean
something.
So
have you talked to any trainers about it?
No, I haven't.
Interesting. What about those other things you monitor every day?
You know,
have you been graphing them statistically?
No, I've been writing them down, but I haven't been graphing them.
You haven't been posting them on your blog?
No.
So that we can all see?
They'd laugh at me.
I am laughing.
Because I'm a scientist. No, I haven't done that yet. But
why don't you tell people what you monitor?
Well, I monitor every day. I monitor my body fat based on one of these little handheld gizmos.
Mm-hmm.
I assume there's a lot of randomness in it, but, you know, I'm looking at trends.
So is that going down?
I haven't plotted it, so I don't know. My sense is it's fairly random. And it's not going down. And my weight, and again, that seems to be just going up and down, depending on heavy and light, and doesn't seem to be going in any direction, which is okay. I was kind of hoping the weight would stay the same, body fat would come down.
Mm-hmm.
I need to plot it. I haven't transferred my notebook to my spreadsheet. So I'm not as much of a nerd as you would think.
But you did just say something about life's not about being precise. Except when it comes to plotting your body fat and your weight.
I'm just interested to see if this has any effect.
Well, don't you think
I'm a scientist?
Don't you think you can tell just by how your clothes fit?
That
seems to be the absolute fastest, easiest barometer for me.
Yeah, I think it works better for women than it does for men. I mean, in general, you know, if you're getting bigger or smaller by. But I don't know if I really want to be.
You know, you're getting stronger because you can. See
I know
the
I'm getting
number.
Stronger from the weight thing.
Right.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I'm thinner than I was a year ago.
Do you feel better?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yesterday I did an aerobic workout, and I didn't have that much carbo during the day at all because it's Saturday and I get lazy, and I can't tell you how dead I felt. I had to go to Kroger, not only get berries, because I love raspberries and strawberries, and this is the time to get them. They're so much sweeter now than ever.
And cherries are amazing right
and
now.
And cherries.
Oh, my
it's
Lord.
Such a good time. But also, I got this big bag of pretzel cheesy things. It was just awful, and I eat very healthy, but I couldn't help myself. My body was in this like catatonic state of some sort.
I bet you really secretly had a bloomin' onion, too.
I went down for the bloomin' onion, mate. It was great. I said, young man, when you're short on your dough, you can stay there. And I'm sure you will find many ways to have a good time. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. They have everything. All right, so that's one update. Second update, personal update, is my eyes. I all of a sudden, I started not being able to see out of my glasses, and I have glasses for regular vision and glasses for reading. And all of a sudden, it came incrementally, and I have a theory on this. It came in incrementally. A year ago, I noticed I started not being able to watch TV right before bed as much. It was a little fuzzy. Didn't bother me too much. Got a little bit worse and worse. Until now, I can't even wear my glasses. The vision is that bad. So I went to the eye doctor finally. And it looks like I'm going to get bifocals, which is kind of funky to me.
No, it's okay. They look normal.
I know. She explained to me what they are, and still old people wear bifocals.
Yeah, and
not young
44-year-olds.
Not young, cool people like me.
And 44-year-olds wear bifocals.
Well, the interesting thing is also I wanted to say is I wear contacts, and I'm wearing contacts now except with my reading glasses on, and my vision has never changed with contacts. They're great. In fact, so I'm wearing my contacts all the time now, even though it causes me a little bit of eye strain because, you know, this dries up and so forth because it's better than glasses. So I went to the eye doctor. The eye doctor said, yeah, your vision's getting worse. It looks like we used to be able to correct you to 2025. Now we're able to correct you to 2030. But you know what? When she was slipping those things on me, mm-hmm. where you say, which is better, this or that?
Right.
Nothing looked good. And that scared the bejesus out of me. It's like, doctor, nothing is really looking good. Everything's looking blurry. So she came up with the assessment that it's because I've been wearing bad prescriptions for a while, that I've been having too much muscle strain, mm-hmm. going from straining to not straining, that I'm not able to focus as well. So she's going to start. We started with a pair of bifocals I'm going to get next Friday. I'm going to go off on a business trip and come back. And then she's going to adjust that. Because she says, I need you to sort of be able to see normally before I can fine-tune this. So I think I'm going to get good care. But it's just depressing to me that, A, I could never see anything good out of that machine. It's the first time that ever happened, and I've been going to eye doctors since I was 5. Probably earlier than that, but I can't remember. And the fact that my eyes are getting better. There was a time in my early 30s when my eyes were actually getting better. Because I guess it sometimes can happen when you have farsighted, when you're farsighted. So anyways.
So what about the surgery?
What surgery?
LASIK.
Oh, we didn't even talk about that.
Well, she doesn't want to talk about that because then she can't make any money. But.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I have such screwed up eyes.
Maybe
you know,
you're a candidate for that.
I trust me.
Because I have talked to so many people who have it and they just say, it's wonderful. I would do it again in a heartbeat. So.
Yeah. But I'm sure it's not an option. You have to understand I couldn't get contacts until I was 32. Why? Because, not because it's technically impossible for me to get contacts, because nobody was developing contacts for my type of eye because it just wasn't economically viable. Mm-hmm. I have weird, weird eyes. Eye doctors, on the other hand, love me because I break up their day and I'm interesting. They have to try this and try that because everybody else is pretty much cookie cutter when it comes to eyes, you know? I'm interesting. They all, every eye doctor I've ever says, you're the perfect patient. So.
Well, gold star to you for being the perfect optometrist
patient.
For being
the strangest eyes. I know. That's crazy.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes, tell me what is wrong, 'cause I'm wise.
Well, I wanted to start off with an interesting story in Dallas.
Okay.
All right. Have you ever been up in your attic?
Yes.
Okay. Pretty hot up there, eh?
Yes. Yes.
I don't think a human being could live up there for long. Well, there was a woman in Old East Dallas. This is like not too far from here, probably about 4 miles east. And she heard thumping upstairs in the attic. And then she saw there's like the chandeliers rumble and a few other things. And finally, she sort of figured there's got to be somebody up there. Now,
somebody or something?
Well, of course, the first thing you think is critters, because I've had critters up there. That always happens. Mm-hmm. But this was heavier. So she yelled
it's
up.
A big animal.
So she yelled up there and said, get out of the house. We're leaving the house and you can leave. And then she saw somebody leaving. Now, it's just so weird, but she was on the news and everything, in the newspaper and the news, and I don't know how she got up there because the doors were locked and everything.
How the person got up there.
But then she called the police, and the police came, and they went up there, and they found all kinds of beer cans. They found clothing. Apparently, he had also stolen her when she's out. She worked 12 hours a day, and he would go down and get her food and borrow her clothes. But I don't understand. I can almost understand the story in January. You could kind of live up there.
Yeah, right, exactly.
There's no possible way to live up there in July. It's really, really hot.
He didn't have a fan on?
Well, you know, maybe he did have a fan and there was an electrical outlet up there, but most attics in Texas are unfinished, just like mine is. You know, there's not much ability to maneuver up there.
So he had to been coming in and out her front door when she wasn't there.
He had to be coming out of the attic door,
which
is pretty obvious.
Right.
And one of the front or back doors, you'd think, unless there was an opening large enough to get up there some other ways to climb up the house or something. But I would think a hole that large would be obvious. Now, she had recently moved in. It was not her house. It was a duplex that she was renting. So you're not quite as careful.
Right, with who had keys or whatever.
Right, right. So
how long did they think he had been living there?
They think 2 or 3 months. And again, I just don't get it. I don't see how you could. We were talking last show.
Oh, God.
Which actually was just earlier today for us, but you didn't hear that. We talked about last show, the fact that you could sleep. People used to sleep on the screen door porches, before there was air conditioning.
Cool breeze. Mm-hmm.
And how rough that would be. Gretchen, if I was to go up in my attic and sleep at night, first of all, I wouldn't get any sleep. Second of all, I think I'd die.
I know.
I don't see how you could be up there.
Oh, my Lord. Well, so what did they charge him with? Trespassing? Did they catch him?
No, they did not catch him.
They didn't catch him?
Nope. Nope.
So I wonder if he's moved on to a cooler attic.
I'm looking
elsewhere.
In the attic there's life.
probably didn't know this, but there's a big industry out there called licensing. And the big old licensing industry just had its awards. And they gave
licensing
out an award.
Of what?
Well, I'll tell you all about it because it's actually pretty fascinating. Because now, let's see, this show is about half an hour, right? So in one half hour, in North America, this licensing industry produces $7.5 million of retail sales in one half hour. And it goes on, you know, every hour of every day of the year. And that totals about $110 billion a year in licensed goods. And you're saying, well, what are you talking about?
Holy moly.
What are you talking about? This is a really fast-growing industry.
I want to get a piece of that.
That's right. So what it is licensing is when you have a legally protected entity like a trademark or a copyright that you want to put your name, your likeness, your logo on some kind of product.
Okay.
And so two companies get together. It's a formal agreement. The owner of the property is called the licensor, and you license it to a licensee who has some type of product that they want to put it on.
All right.
And you specify the amount of time, the areas where you're going to sell the product, and you talk about how much money the company that owns the property is going to get. And usually it's a royalty, which is a percentage of the total sale. So every time you sell one item with a logo on it, with a license, that company gets a percentage of that sales.
All
plus,
right.
They also get a guarantee that you're going to give them this amount of money over this many years, regardless of whether you're going to make that, regardless of whether that happens or not, you still have to pay them money. So a licensee takes on a lot of risk.
Huh.
And nowadays there are thousands of licenses, and they fall into a bunch of categories, but the most popular ones are character and entertainment licensing.
Sure.
And so you see Disney, you see Warner Brothers, you see Nickelodeon, you see Fox, and now Pirates of the Caribbean is hot, so you're seeing Pirates of the Caribbean merchandise out there. And there's Winnie the Pooh and TV shows like The Simpsons. And then there's corporate trademark and brand licensing, like Coca-Cola and Harley. Those are really famous. You can go anywhere in the world and find Harley products.
Right.
Because they're licensed.
Because it's licensed.
And then fashion licensing. Not only do designers put their names on products, but they want line extensions and brand extensions and create lifestyles brands. So that's why you can find, you know, your Calvin Klein, I don't know if he does it, but Ralph Lauren does a car, right? Or a Jeep.
Right.
You should buy the Ralph Lauren Jeep. And then there's sports licensing, which is really like the fastest growing one right now. And those are the four major sporting groups, NFL, the NBA, the NHL, and Major League Baseball. But there's also NASCAR. Can't forget NASCAR.
Oh, yeah.
World
that's big.
Wrestling Federation, and with World Cup. I mean, I was in Germany in February, and everything was World Cup. I mean, because they were getting ready for what just happened. So they were licensing
the headbutt?
The wazoo. Oh, yeah. They were licensed the headbutt. Right. And there's also art licensing. For example, museums, print houses, like Andy
right.
Warhol died recently, yet his estate still earned, well, he died in 87, but his estate earned $16 million last year. So.
Well, that is recently. We are recorded. This is recorded in 1988.
There you go.
So
last year.
I don't know when we're going to get this out yet, Gretchen, but 1988. It's a good year.
It was a good year, but if you want to know, the key licensees last year that won all these big awards, okay, the 2005, drum roll.
Wait, okay, first of all, what are the awards? They're for, most money made on licenses?
No. Therefore, the industry is a group. It's a really tight knit group. They get together and they say who had the best film license last year, or who had the best art license last year.
And what's the definition of best?
I think they as a group vote. So. Just like, you know, the people in the industry vote for the Academy Awards.
Okay.
There's a people who are specialists. So I'm not sure the criteria that they say best. It might be most dollars, but I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it's what they think are the most innovative.
Okay.
Or probably which is the most prominent. Because, for example, best license of the year, overall best license last year for 2005 was, and this one definitely made the most money, so it might be the reason it won, Star Wars Episode III, Revenge of the Sith.
Hmm.
So Lucasfilms. So,
what did they license there? I honestly don't know.
What didn't they license? Obviously,
everything,
no kids. You walk into any store and there were licenses up the wazoo. I mean, just every product imaginable had a license, had a Star Wars.
You know what? I think I saw a, it was
the
Donald Trump's show.
Yeah.
Donald Trump, the
Apprentice.
Apprentice. I think one of their tasks last season was to come up with a licensing product for the Star Wars 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, it won License of the Year. And Best Character License, you know, talking about the entertainment segment, the character,
right,
would be Disney's Cinderella, because Cinderella was the Princess of the Year last year.
Was there a movie out last year?
She had a video.
Huh. How about that? Same old story? Or is Cinderella, like, doing other stuff now? They have, like, sequels and stuff where, like, she's going out on dates and she's, like, wearing...
not happily ever after with the prince. She's divorced him. She's moved on. She's out there dating. She's a single gal. She's
wearing grills.
That's right.
She's working it.
She's not just wearing glass slippers anymore.
Is she gangster now? Or what is she doing? Is it the same old movie?
I don't know, Jeff. I'm sorry. But I'm sure some of your listeners who have 8-year-old girls can tell us.
Well, that's very sweet that she's the Princess of the Year.
She's Princess of the Year. The Corporate Brand License of the Year went to Crayola.
Crayola.
Remember
Crayola? Talk about a company
Crayola
that's like
over 100 years old. The crayon, 100,
yeah, and I wouldn't
100.
Think that I wouldn't think it'd be high growth either.
Surprisingly, they put their name on. You know, you can buy paint for your kid's room.
Okay,
Crayola paint.
All right, smart.
Yeah, you can buy Crayola umbrellas. You know, that are in all the colors of the crayons. There's all kinds of there's Crayola product. I think for kids' rooms, they've expanded tremendously.
All right.
But the one that really gets me, this is the one that killed me, the Best Sports Brand License last year. What do you think? Sports brand.
Dallas Cowboys is always up there.
Well, it didn't win, though.
Well, okay. I mean, they sucked this year, so.
Guess what won?
Think
when you turn the TV and you're thinking sports, what comes to mind? When you're flipping through.
Golf.
Not golf.
Thank
no,
goodness.
But you're getting close.
God. Another boring sport?
Yes. Or something that maybe shouldn't really even be considered a sport if you think in terms of athleticism. Because this one
baseball?
Doesn't have any. No, it has none.
Baseball pretty much has no athleticism.
No, there's something else that has no athleticism. But
bowling?
It's on 10 different channels. No.
10 channels? Racing?
No.
The
World Poker Tour.
Oh, God.
How could you forget poker, Jeff?
I've never watched that on TV.
My God. But it is Sport License of the Year.
So what are they licensing exactly?
Oh,
do you know?
I think in this case they probably put...
Are there brands out there?
Yeah, they've got to be putting poker on everything. I mean, even some of these shows, there's poker games.
Mm.
Oh, my Lord. When I formerly worked at Toys R Us, we got in lots of trouble because we would sell poker. And actually, poker itself, if you take out the gambling aspect of it, teaches kids a lot of really good things to know because there's strategy, there's math skills, there's critical thinking, there's an element of chance, but it does in itself have a lot of really good qualities. But then you add the gambling element, and I think people got a little upset about that, but we were selling lots and lots of poker when I was with Toys R Us, but we got a lot of complaints, too. But, it's surprising. Surprising. But, so...
Wow, I'm still not quite understanding, because I don't watch this stuff. I guess they might be licensing the show names?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and they'll put it on products, too.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
You can probably buy a jacket or a T-shirt that says World Poker Tour.
World Poker Tour, and I know there's a show like, the Celebrities Play Poker or something?
Yep, they do that.
Wow. Interesting.
So, who'd have thought?
Who'd have thunk it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, going back, speaking of Dallas...
I don't want to speak of Dallas. You like Dallas. I like Dallas, too, but I just... The one thing I haven't missed is all of the local Dallas news, except for the woman with the guy in her paddock. I did miss that, and that's, you know what else though?
What?
The other thing that they did talk about, that liquor distributor with the girls that wear the little skinny outfits.
Did
you hear about them on the news?
No, I didn't. What happened?
They're back on the news because apparently they have a rival distributor that also has girls in skimpy outfits. And
these are really not very sexy girls with skimpy outfits, actually. The one that Pat and I went to in the podcast last year. They weren't.
That one was the one that was on the news.
They were too young.
Well, they've gotten different girls now. I think they're getting older, those girls.
Good. I think the sexier the better. They're going to sell more beer.
Well, I think it's a good marketing ploy, but they're upsetting their neighbors, and that's why they were on the news.
Huh.
They were having actual a neighborhood forum because now that they've got some rivals, and the outfits are getting skimpier, and they don't think it's necessarily good, wholesome selling in the neighborhood, and so the neighbors are complaining.
It's the old American way.
So if the neighbors would stop buying their beer and wine at the place with the skimpiest costumes, then I think maybe the problems would be solved. But it's people like
solved.
You who are driving there just because those girls are wearing skimpy costumes to pick up your beer that I think it's just contributing to what they consider, you know, the neighborhood just going downhill.
To me, that's just family values, you know? Good old American values.
So that is
women
the only
in skimpy clothes.
Well, we do it really well, don't we?
Yes.
So that's the only Dallas news story that I saw that was not a murder or a shooting or one of the other typical, hey, it's hot out, you know, drink
Shoot,
lots of water.
You just ruined my story. My story was on how hot it is and how we murder.
Oh, I'm sorry, John.
Dang, you just took the wind right out of my sails. Do you feel good about yourself now?
Well, you can cut out what I just said and you can just say it. Well,
that would be cheating. And I feel very strong about not cheating our audience. I don't know what kind of ethics you came from, but I will not cheat our audience.
I thought you were editing because we make mistakes.
Well, speak for yourself. No, actually, this is kind of interesting. You may have seen this. Dallas is moving up among the urban giants. Dallas is now, the Dallas-Fort Worth area, is now number 4 in the country. Did you know that, Gretchen? It just passed Philadelphia area.
Oh, in terms of size?
Terms of size, terms of population.
So it's L.A., New York, Chicago,
no,
Dallas?
No, New York.
New York, L.A.
LA
well, that's only because they don't count all of L.A. Come on. L.A. goes on for like 4 hours when you're flying into L.A. You look out the window and your start of L.A. starts like in Nevada, and then you just keep going.
Well, you know, and I don't know how they define the metropolitan areas,
but
L.A., they've got it like 13 million, so whatever that is. New York is, they have 18.8 million with a growth rate of 0.42% a year.
But that's counting all five New York boroughs.
Right. Oh, sure. It's like the metro area.
Right.
L.A., 13 million with a growth rate of 0.83% area. Chicago is 9.5 million with a growth rate of 0.7%. Dallas-Fort Worth comes in at just below 6 million with 2.29%. So the growth rate is exceedingly high compared to the others. Philadelphia is 5.8 million, which is very close. Dallas just beat out Philadelphia with a growth rate of 0.45. So they're actually anticipating Dallas-Fort Worth to keep increasing its lead over Philadelphia. It'll take a while to get to Chicago, but it kind of blows me away, Dallas-Fort Worth. And I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, you know, here's the deal. Unlike these other cities, Chicago, New York, L.A., Philadelphia, we have that population split into two cities. Now, it used to be two separate cities. Now they're two cities separated by suburbs, with suburbs all around each of them. And there's advantages and disadvantages to that. And if you consider comparing us to Philadelphia, Chicago, L.A., New York, you know? Because the things that we have in common is that we do have the fourth largest metropolitan area. And so we do have a good sports teams and good volume of people to get to those sports teams. We have sports teams in every major sport. In fact, we even have minor leagues, you know, so because we have the population for it. We have a big airport, one of the biggest in the country, and that's because we have the population for it. Now, there's some things been going around locally around the Wright Amendment and Love Field, but nevertheless, we still got the big airport.
And we have the smog level, too. So we're up there.
We absolutely do. The business, we have the ability to bring in businesses to this community because I think it's a large population. But here's where we don't. The fact that we're number 4 does us injustice compared to these other cities. We don't have one downtown metro area. It's split into two. So we have two business centers, if you will.
Okay.
So it's just like having two towns of equal size, roughly, that are way down the list. So it's not quite comparable. We have two zoos, where if we had one zoo... We'd have a great zoo, potentially. We have two symphonies. Dallas has a symphony. Fort Worth has a symphony. If we had one symphony, might be one of the best in the country, because we have the population for it. It's too bad. We have two operas. I'm a big opera fan, so I bring it up. Dallas Opera, Fort Worth Opera. Both operas, they're okay. They're good.
They're not great.
They could be great.
Right.
Pisses me off. Botanical Gardens. We have two botanical gardens. Each city has their own. They're both good. They're both an enjoyable day. But they could be great if there were one.
So are you suggesting we put them in the middle?
No, I don't know what I'm suggesting. I guess I'm just trying to say that if you look at how high Dallas-Fort Worth is, it's not quite comparable. There's some differences in our dynamic.
Well, I've lived in four of those five cities.
Yes, you have.
I have, which is really pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And I've spent some time in Chicago. But I think what you're saying is this is as close to the New York metropolitan area, because New York, technically those five boroughs, they are as different as night and day. You know, anybody who spent any time in Manhattan knows that it's really different from Queens or different from Brooklyn or different from Staten Island. So, and so you just, you know, and there are multiple zoos there, and there's, but there are, you know, two big museums, and I guess it is sort of different in that it's what some people would say the greatest city in the world. But
right.
I'm just trying to think. In L.A., though, L.A. is so spread out. L.A. is probably, what, 60 individual cities? But that's why I'm surprised it's still not number one, because so many of those cities, and it just goes on for such a huge, like, 200 square miles.
I think.
It's just some unbelievably large area. And downtown L.A. is so nothing to speak of. That's what's so ironic.
I know.
In downtown L.A., you blink, and you've gone through it, and you're like, this is it.
Right.
There's not really a destination, although they are trying really hard to make it a destination.
It's kind of like downtown Dallas.
With the Disney Concert Hall. And
yeah.
But it's so interesting that it's known more for its separate suburbs or its individual attractions. You know,
right.
Like, let's go to Disneyland, or let's go to the beach, the Santa Monica Pier, or let's go to Malibu to see stars. But it's not, and I guess they're all uniquely different. And Philly, well, Philly's been losing a lot of people because it is, you know, sort of a depressed area. And even though they were trying to, I don't know, Philly's okay, but it's...
Well, you know, Philly has always been number four, and that surprised me because you sort of told me before that Philadelphia always had this small-town feel.
It does have a small-town feel.
So how can it be number four and have a small-town feel?
It's 30 blocks from side to side. It is really relatively small to go from
But I guess
the metro area goes, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. But, you know, they don't have really a world-class zoo to speak of, or... Well, I guess they do have a world-class museum, but... interesting.
Very interesting. Well, speaking of Dallas...
Again.
Okay, this is something that's been fascinating me, and we're doing this show 1 week early, so I probably won't have the latest news on it, which is unfortunate, but Sarah Ann Walker, did you hear about this real estate agent that was that was knifed to death?
27 times.
Yeah. 37 times. Although they're coming out and saying most of those times were defensive wounds, so, you know. But nevertheless, she was 40 years old, and I guess what's attracting me, but what I find so... Like, every day I check for stories on this murder. I want to know what happened. It's like a big suspense thing. So this, but more and more about her life is coming out. In fact, just today it came out that she's a very interesting character. I mean, she had like two ex-husbands, and she's our age, a little bit younger, 40 years old. She seems like, you look at her picture and you read a little bit about her, and I can honestly say she's like somebody I would know. I mean, she's sort of in that same demographic, but she's a real one of these Texas sales. I can vision her. She's bubbly. She's a Texas sales girl, kind of a pretty platinum blonde type, but wears a little bit too much makeup, shops too much at Neiman's, and, you know, kind of a girly girl, but it sounds like a really, really nice person.
And she had two children.
She had two kids, one that she really didn't associate with, and one was a smaller 3-year-old that was pretty important to her, I guess. But she made a lot of money, and she spent a lot of money, and there's no net worth. And they found, I don't know if you saw this, she had credit card debt on 9 credit cards. I think she's one of these women that just keeps buying and buying beyond, you know, wears a new Neiman Marcus outfit every day and then discards it or something. I don't know. Just crazy, extravagant lifestyle. Had a Jaguar and a Mercedes. But at the same time, that sounds terrible. At the same time, she had lots of friends, and apparently she was very giving. And but what's interesting about it is the police are having trouble because there's so many people to interview. She was involved in so many different sort of walks of life and avenues. And the weird thing is this, I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but it kept coming up maybe because they didn't have anything else to talk about. She was looking for, you know, she was on these Match.com websites, but she was on MillionaireMatch.com. And they kept making a big deal. Ooh, she had 58 visitors. Big freaking deal. I mean, the person that stabbed her, like, really stabbed her. So they pretty much think it's somebody that she knew and really hated her.
Yeah. Or that she spurned.
Yeah, or that she spurned, whatever. But still, you know, you put your profile on any dating site and you get 58 people looking at you within a couple of days. But the press made such a big deal out of that, and I'm not sure I understood it. But also, this is weird. She had, in the last year, two strange incidents. One in which she claimed that she showed up at work with a black eye, and she claimed to the police, she made a police report that she was beaten and robbed at her house, and yet she couldn't remember how she was hit in the face. And then they found her drunk. So it's weird, just weird. And then the second thing was she told friends and family that an intruder came and, what was it now, beat her up or something, and she never reported it to police. Or she said she reported it to police, but they couldn't uncover anything in the police. So there is weird stuff.
So two supposed police reports that nobody has record of.
One was a record of. Yeah, oh. Yeah.
But she was drunk and had fallen down.
Right. Apparently so. So there's some really strange things in this background, and I think there's going to be more and more.
Yeah.
They're going to find out that it's interesting to me. So.
Yeah, I know some realtors though that show in these communities, and they are a little nervous, but they do think that this is somebody that targeted her.
Yeah.
It sounds like a psycho person. But
yeah.
And apparently they have panic buttons. I didn't realize that, but they can carry a panic button with them
at
all times.
Yeah.
They can hit the button if.
Now, what happened to this person's panic button, I wonder?
I don't know.
I'm sure they're looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, maybe by this time, her name, if you want to look it up on Google News, Sarah Ann Walker. Yeah, that's it.
And they offered a reward, right? The builder offered a reward.
Yeah, a combination of her, the builder that she was working for,
and her friends.
And a dairy firm here in Dallas. So.
A dairy firm?
So weird, yeah. Oh. So the $30,000 reward last I saw, 10,000 were from Schweppes. I think it's Schweppes Dairy.
Huh.
Yeah. Very nice.
Wow.
And I may be leaving myself open to a murder or a heart attack.
Because it is vacation season, I was sort of interested in where do Americans go on vacation these days? And I went looking for that answer.
Well, let me test.
Do you know?
No, I don't. But I will tell you where they went when my parents' age, parents' day.
Okay.
The big vacation was to Niagara Falls.
You're absolutely right. Actually, that was a big marriage destination,
yes.
Too.
Yes,
I think
it
probably still is, but our honeymoon destination. But so
it's just kind of funny. Maybe we live too good a lives, Gretchen, but I can't imagine any of my friends honeymooning in Niagara Falls. I just can't, and it's, you know, it's. I think it's a sign of the times. I mean, I don't think it's the fact that we're, you know, super high achievers or anything like that, or doing well in life. I think I've heard from people that earn median salaries that.
But the world's gotten smaller.
That go
and
to
now,
Hawaii. Yeah,
right,
exactly. Exactly.
Airplane flights are much less expensive and much more plentiful. And
exactly.
A little smaller, and you can go anywhere,
right.
As long as you have the time and the money.
Right.
It's easy to get around now. So I went in to figure out, so where are Americans going? And it wasn't as easy to figure out like I thought it was going to be. But in 2005, New York outpaced California and Florida as the top states.
I'm surprised.
Visited by overseas travelers. And, I wanted to know where Americans went. And that was overseas.
That was overseas,
that
New York.
That was overseas people coming to visit us.
Huh.
But Americans, if they could go anywhere they wanted to go.
Right. Are you
okay.
Stalling?
All right. And, no, I'm just, I had it in the wrong order. If Americans wanted to go anywhere they wanted to go, their first choice would be Australia. And this is for the ninth year in a row.
See, you know why? Because last show we were talking about the Bloomin' Onion place, the Outback
right.
Steakhouse.
And that gets
they
everybody.
Love that place so much that they think, we could have this every night.
There. I got to go there. Right.
We could have this every night. And it's probably they probably actually grow Bloomin' Onions in their gardens in Australia.
Right. And second of all,
sadly, that's probably true.
No, that's true. And our second biggest desired place to go is Italy, followed by Great Britain, Ireland, France, Germany, Canada, Greece, and Japan were tied. And rounding out the list, Switzerland. I thought Switzerland was quite odd.
I don't see Switzerland in there. What's there to see? And I mean, it's a nice place, but you know.
I don't know, but now that...
So that list doesn't quite surprise me. There's no big surprises. Switzerland's a little bit of a surprise. There's no exotic locations. China, Africa...
Well, that's coming, but...
Okay.
That's coming. Greece moved up because of the Olympic Games, and New Zealand moved down because the Lord of the Rings talk is now over.
Okay.
Surprisingly. And the Bahamas actually got into the list as one of the top 15.
All right.
Yes, so that was interesting too. But speaking of China,
let's speak of China
because the World Tourism Organization says that it is inevitable that China will become the world's number one travel destination by 2020.
Really?
Yeah, I thought that was pretty amazing.
That is amazing.
That was really amazing. Chinese-based manufacturers dictate global prices for everything from steel to microchips. And for foreign companies, it's such a huge market that they're concentrating a lot of effort to get a piece of it. Everything from Boeing, who's going to increase production so that they can service airplanes to China, to American insurance companies that want to buy Chinese insurance. Or if you've been there lately and you've seen how many cars there are, it's all about car production now. There's definitely a middle class developing in China.
There is no way, by the way, that every person in China can have a car. It will not work. There's going to be a real problem there because it cannot work. There's too many people.
Here was a quote in one article I read. If you've gone to China 10 years ago, you'd have been run over by a bicycle. Now you can't move for the BMWs.
Yeah.
Which is pretty true, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
So wherever business travelers go, typically then you start to get a lot of tourism travelers. And I thought this was pretty amazing, too, that Goldman Sachs is predicting that by the year 2040, China is going to overtake America as the world's biggest economy.
By 2040.
2040. So we will actually see that if we're lucky.
So I will be 40 plus 40. I'll be an old timer.
Yeah.
That was crafty Chinese. We never saw that coming.
Everything in your house will be made in China.
We never saw that coming. Where's my job? I wasn't software engineering until I lost my job to China.
China, because we didn't have enough scientists, because they all wanted to go and be MBAs.
Ever since that George W. Bush.
That's right.
That bastard. I'm going to be a good old curmudgeon, I predict. I'm going to have a podcast and I'm a curmudgeon, so I'm just not curmudgeoning to my wife.
Do you think you would be podcasting in 2040?
I think so.
I don't think there'll be podcasts, Jeff.
What do you think they'll be?
Something that we don't even know about yet.
Yeah, I agree. And this is, well, podcasting, this, I've always said, this really goes into my other podcast, which for those of you that don't know, I do the PodCheck Review with Scott Fletcher, which is a podcast industry podcast. It's where I'm a little more serious.
But, and it is really intriguing to those people who are not interested in the industry of podcasting.
I know. Boy, woo. Hey, it even bores me sometimes, to tell you the truth.
Okay. Because
Scott's really good at it and got a lot of enthusiasm. I'm sort of a go-alonger. But what was I going to say? This whole idea right now that podcasting is at, this whole... You must subscribe to the podcast, then download it through your computer, then stick your iPod there and synchronize. You know, people just go, hang? It's definitely an in-between technology, at least right now. I don't know what it'll evolve to. Although I do try to predict it, but I won't on this show.
Thank you.
So, speaking of Dallas.
Back to Dallas. Good Lord.
I'm sorry.
Can't we get away from Dallas?
I know.
You must love this town.
No, I don't. I guess I read the local paper.
You must.
All right. So,
what is the name of the local morning paper?
Morning News. Okay. Dallas just, Morning News.
Just checking.
All right. This is interesting. And this is actually nationwide. Dallas has among the lowest percentages of middle class neighborhoods among 100 metropolitan areas surveyed. Okay. So it's interesting. It's the fourth biggest, but it's got the lowest percentage of middle-class neighborhoods. Now, the study also showed that middle-class neighborhoods are disappearing throughout the country. including Dallas, as residential areas are increasingly segregated by incomes. So here's some numbers. Nationwide, the share of middle in- they don't define what middle income neighborhoods is in this article, so I don't have those numbers, but nationwide, the share of middle income neighborhoods has fallen from 58% in 1970 to 41% in the year 2000. Now think of this. Just sit back and think about it. In 30 years, essentially, what is that? A generation and a half. We went from 58, the majority of our neighborhoods being middle income, to 41%, the minority by a long shot, 20% shift here. This is a scary trend. I mean, go to third world countries and that gap is huge, you know? And that's the way we're going.
Well, you're assuming that it's not upper income neighborhoods growing then.
Well, I don't know.
Because that wouldn't be so scary if we were becoming more affluent. The whole population was becoming more affluent.
Okay, I see what you're saying. That's a good point. That's a fair point. Yeah.
I mean, you're assuming that we're all we're going below.
I'm assuming that maybe both sides are shrinking.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're right. And let me see if this says. Okay. And in this survey, the number one metropolitan area where the most middle income in range, this might be familiar to you, is Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, and Hazleton, Pennsylvania. Do you find that a surprise?
Yes. Scranton and Wilkes-Barre.
They have the most middle class. The very last, another area you know, is L.A. and Long Beach metropolitan area.
Yeah, I lived in Long Beach. Mm-hmm.
So they don't have a lot of middle class there. That was very last of 100, and Dallas was ranked 95th with 31.3 of residential areas identified as middle class.
What were some of the other top ones that had middle class?
I don't have a list. Yeah.
Because it'd be interesting to know if there are what we think of as... you know, wholesome middle America. And is that where, for example, when the next election comes up, is that, you know, the heartland? Is that what we're, you know, the majority of people are that supposedly, you know, both parties try to appeal to?
Right.
What they say, middle America?
Yeah,
it's
a good point.
Where does middle America live anymore then?
If the neighborhoods are
shrinking.
Right.
So are they saying this is because of the influx of illegal immigrants? Does that have anything to do with these numbers changing?
I'm trying to kind of zip through this article. They don't seem to have a lot of conjecture to it. No.
Hmm.
So that'll be for our listeners and for us to conjecture.
Yes. Well, or we should go find out more.
We should. It's an interesting topic.
It is interesting because if the middle class is going away, where and why is it going?
And, you know, I pulled it fairly quickly.
Oh, and it wasn't middle class, you were saying. It's middle-income neighborhoods.
Middle-income neighborhoods. Well, that assumes that the middle class as well, I think. One thing it does say is that people in the low rung have more trouble getting to the high rung without a place in the middle as they're on the way up. I don't know. I kind of skimmed through this article fast when I was doing the research for it, but when I'm reading it now, again, I'm finding the 58% in 70 to 41% in the year 2000 to be pretty huge. This demographic of the United States has really, really changed quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And
so when you drive through cities, does that mean they're less prosperous or more prosperous?
I think it's probably my guess. I don't know. The article doesn't say. My guess from what I've seen is that both. I think the higher upper class has grown.
So there's a greater split now.
Right, yeah. Right. And I think the lower class, we all know that poverty has increased.
Has
the lower class has grown. But I think the upper class has grown too. I mean, in the article I was telling you about the real estate agent getting stabbed.
Mm-hmm.
This is way out in McKinney. This is a long way away. It's a suburb. I mean, it's in the metro area, but it's a faraway suburb that I personally have never been to because it's way too freaking far away. But they're sort of looking at demographics, and they said this is kind of I'm putting my fingers in quotes, affluent area.
Yes.
But it's not affluent in the sense that you think of, you know, the big oil guys. It's affluent in the sense that these are middle managers for companies like EDS, companies like JCPenney, you know, these kind of corporate types. Mm-hmm. They're middle managers, probably a dual income families. They do
so
all right.
Maybe the definition of what they're saying middle is changed and it's now more upper.
Right. Maybe so.
So maybe that's why.
Maybe so. Maybe so. Maybe that's the new middle class.
Maybe.
Up in McKinney, living in a nice, you know, townhome.
Right. Or the new 5,000 square foot home.
Yeah.
By her
ridiculous.
Builder. You know?
Yeah. No kidding.
Because everybody needs a 5,000 square foot home.
Yeah. No kidding. That's ridiculous.
I know somebody who had a 6,000 square foot home, and their electric bill last month was $1,000.
Yeah, and I like the way people brag about their square footage too. Like, whoa, I'm impressed by that. But where do you live? Oh, it's 40 miles out, and there's right. Close the grocery store is, you know, getting my car, waste gas for 15 minutes.
I mean, and do you use all 5,000 square feet?
Yeah, what would you possibly even want that for?
Unless you have like 20 kids, then maybe I can see that.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't get it.
I have five fun facts.
Five fun facts?
Five really fun... Well, no, wait, they're not all fun. Excuse me. I can't say that. There's one that's horrible. These okay. were fascinating facts that I heard this past week.
You know, I don't have enough facts in my life.
Well, here's some more. And these are things that you'll remember, too. Because it's really pretty shocking. So, forget the fun part. These are fascinating. Did you know that Americans are working 6 to 8 hours more a week than our parents 20 years ago?
That's fun fact.
That's fascinating.
It's not fun for you and I, but it's fascinating.
Though, just to
six
keep up.
To 8 hours
so
per week.
So we're working like 48 hours a week just to keep.
But you say just to keep up. We live better lives than our parents did.
Okay, but I. But
no, wait. Actually, that's not a fair statement.
True, because look at inflation and look at how many you need basically two incomes now to support a child when you didn't when we were growing up.
I don't mean better life. I think they lived better lives. Maybe. Well, that whatever. That's personal thing, but. I think we have more material things. I think we're able to buy more, purchase more. I think we have more purchasing power. And maybe it's because we have dink families or dual income families. I don't know. But we have more gadgets. We have more conveniences. Don't you think?
True. But I also think that now everybody's saying with the cost of rising fuel, it's harder. It's much more of a struggle, and even with the percentage of adjustable rate mortgages,
yep.
when the percentage goes up again next year, there's going to be more foreclosures. I mean, people are living so on the edge, I think, and that's maybe what we're not hearing so much about. That that's one reason I think we're working more is just it's you know like the gerbil on the wheel.
Yep.
You know, we're spinning quickly to stay in the same place.
Well, I saw actually. I brought it with me, but there's an article that's saying the average pay increase for a professional worker for the last couple of years, they're projecting this for the next 3 years as well, is 3.1%. And the average inflation rate has been like 4.1%. So towards your point,
we don't keep up.
We're not keeping up.
We don't keep up.
Yeah. At least that's the short term.
And the second interesting thing, which you probably heard too, did you hear... No, I can't substantiate this.
Oh, I heard that.
I tend to believe it's true that North Korea's chronic malnutrition situation has stunted the growth of its population by 3 inches.
Yeah, just saw that in the press this morning.
Now,
right?
Do you think that's true? I mean, I know they're malnourished. They're malnourished, and I know they have no electricity for most
of the
day.
If you were here in my house while I was watching that, my mouth was like ajar open.
Wasn't
like,
that shocking?
Yeah. 3 inches.
3 inches.
And I thought, who is it, Biden that brought it up?
No, it was Gingrich.
Was it Gingrich? I thought Gingrich was making a point. It was like, you know, we like heights in this country. Can you believe that he took height away from his countrymen? I thought that was his angle.
No, it's not his angle. His angle was these people don't have enough to eat.
They deserve heights just like anybody.
This man is crazy. Oh, God.
He's a crazy tunes guy.
The other thing that was shocking this week is half people in this country over the age of 50 haven't saved over $50,000.
Yeah. In fact, it's amazing. And the average 401k I just read was $27,000.
Wow. Well, now, if you're 50, though, I think you have to think about how much you need to live.
I don't think a lot of people think about retirement.
No, they don't.
I'm convinced they don't. I don't understand why. But why?
Really
we don't have a safety net.
Because we live in the, well, everybody thinks that Social Security is it. But, you know, we all know that it's going to pay out a lot less than you think if it's not completely bankrupt.
I think people in our generation and the generations behind us, I think they think somehow something is going to get better. And so they're like, I'm going to spend my money now.
Because I have
something
to have the
I have to
TV
have.
And the best car and the grill work, right?
Yes, and the grills in my teeth.
And the grills in your teeth. The fourth fascinating.
By the way, back to Kim Jong-il, just one second. 3 inches in one generation. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably. Evolution-wise, impossible. That's just my guess.
I would tend to believe that's
like,
probably
that
true.
Seems a little over the top.
But I can understand maybe the point about the people are definitely starving.
Yes.
And that's been documented.
Yes, it has been. They're importing food. They need food from China.
They need food from anybody who will give it to them. Well, he won't accept it. That's his problem, I think. He doesn't accept it. This time last year, do you remember how much you were paying for a gallon of gas?
I don't think I want to know. No, I never, you know, I'm one of these people that don't really look at the price of gas.
Well,
because I just, it's just something I got to fill my tank with, so I don't.
Well, you were, and you're a math person, you can probably figure this out. It was 60 cents less than it is right now. It was like $2.32.
Yeah.
And it's expected to be $4, like at the end of this month.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw the oil was $78 a barrel, highest ever.
Yeah, and it could go to 100. It's not saying that's outrageous. Even though a year ago we were saying it'll never be over 60, and now look at it.
Yeah.
And that affects everything that's made with plastic, by the way, not just gasoline.
Yes.
And lastly.
That's a fun fact.
No, I said it was a fascinating fact. Remember, I took the word fun out.
Yeah, thank God, because these are not fun.
No, here's the fun one, okay?
She was afraid to come out of the locker. She was afraid that somebody would see. It was an itsy-bitsy, teeny-weeny, yellow polka-dot bikini.
The bikini is 60 years old this year.
Congratulations,
to the
bikini.
But the bikini has a fascinating history.
60 years would make it 45.
46.
Right after World War II.
It was debuted on July 5th, 1946.
Right after the war, huh?
Right after the war. And it was designed by a Parisian mechanical engineer. Paris.
Okay.
Yes. It had 30 inches of fabric in it. And... Huh. The thing that was most shocking about it is that it showed the navel, which was a part of the body that was absolutely not shown up until that time.
Wow.
And it was so revolutionary that the only model he could find to wear it was a stripper.
Wow.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. And
yeah, it would be, because if you've never, ever seen the belly button in public.
A curator and a fashion historian actually
would almost be obscene.
I can't think of any situation in 1,000 years before the 1960s when it was acceptable to show the navel.
Huh.
So we're talking shocking clothing. But it wasn't, it started in 46, but it did not take off until the 60s.
So there was 15 years where it was around, but it was kind of like,
Well, the only people who actually wore it were the vanguard, upper-class European women embraced it right when he designed it.
Mm-hmm. Which I think of upper-class women as aristocracy, as gray hairs, but I guess not.
Well, no.
Probably the kids are the gray hairs.
Yeah, the kids are the gray hairs, right. And it was originally made of cotton and jersey, and then lycra was added to it. And that allowed more women to wear it. And over the years, everybody remembers that in the 60s, well, actually, the most memorable moment you can probably think of is in the James Bond movie Dr. No in 1962 when Ursula Andress walks out of the water with a knife in her belt.
Yeah.
That bikini was actually very famous, and it was sold at auction for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Wow.
And then 40 years later, they replicated it with Halle Berry doing the same thing in another James Bond movie.
Huh. Yeah, I never saw Dr. No.
But you would recognize the scene if you saw her.
I'll bet.
Yeah, you would recognize the bikini, too. And then Brigitte Bardot, actually in 57, wore one in God Created Women. And Raquel Welch wore an animal print one in the movie 1 Million Years BC, and that made her an instant pinup girl. And Annette Funicello wore one in her beach movies. And in the 60s, there was the song, the Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini.
Yep.
Playboy put it on their cover in 62, and 2 years later it was in Sports Illustrated's cover.
Wow.
And then in the 70s, it became cool to wear one because women were working out to Jane Fonda videos, and so it was okay to show off your body, and that's actually when the thong started, which was okay to take off the rear end of it so you could show the buttocks. And then in the 80s and 90s, it died. It was really having a hard time because one-piece suits became very popular.
Yeah.
But then in 1994, the bikini became the official uniform of the women's volleyball team.
I was just thinking about the volleyball team.
So it became cool to be an athletic woman wearing the bikini. And so it's back, and it's still around, and it's just interesting that that's been the history. But it's actually the psychology of the bikini, because it's been so controversial. It actually has to do with women's, the development of, you know, women and women's roles, and that, you know, we had the sexual revolution in the 60s, and that's when the bikini took off, and then the emancipation of swimwear has always been linked to the emancipation of women.
Huh.
So isn't that amazing that when you...
Is that why it went out of favor?
This cultural icon, you can see that today it's strong again.
Do you think that's why it went out of favor, though, in the 80s and 90s?
Because it's a little more conservative.
Right.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's also a fickle fashion trend,
too. No, it's
too,
a fashion,
you know,
thing, right.
I think designers wanted to put more, you know, had more to work with when it's a bigger suit. And because it's been around so long, it's time for something new, because it always
absolutely.
Has to be new in fashion.
Absolutely.
Or can't sell the product. But lately, sales for bikinis have jumped 80% in the past 2 years.
So, wow.
Happy birthday, bikini. You're 60
happy
this year.
Happy birthday.
Well, she wore
Miss
a bikini.
Bikini.
She looked good in a bikini, Marilyn Monroe.
Well, it's a splendid, splendid birthday, and I'll be having some birthday cake and thinking of all the bikinis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's actually a book out celebrating the 60th anniversary, written by a model who actually made a lot of money wearing bikinis.
Oh, that's fitting.
Mm-hmm.
Get the pun?
With that note, say goodbye, Jeff.
Say goodbye, Jeff. Say goodnight, John Boy. We're out of here. I don't remember the phone number, so it's on the website. Give us a call. We'll play your call online. Send us feedback. We love letters. Not love letters. We love letters. We love letters. We love hate letters. Send us your thoughts. Send us your comments. And we will see you very, very shortly.
No, we won't.
No, we won't, because we don't know who you are. We really don't know you. This is a very one-sided relationship we have. We tell everything about ourselves.
No,
you tell
don't.
Us nothing. No, we really don't, do we? I talked about my eye appointment.
I didn't think you were supposed to do that. But
we can. No, we can. It's good. It's good to be personal. People like the personal touch.
Okay.
You know?
I didn't know that.
So I've got a bunch of personal things to tell you next week about Gretchen that are very, very personal. In fact, I might do the show without her so I can actually get away with doing it.
I have a feeling nobody would want to listen to anything like that. These two strangers that are just sort of talking.
Just sort of talking.
Well, we're not strangers, but we're strangers to them. So.
True. And strangers to each other.
No, we're not. Goodbye, Jeff.
All right. Goodbye. Have a happy week.